think, are we hot? Yes. We're hot. And I'm like, you know, fraternizing here. Hello, this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So it's been extremely hot. I've been manufacturing sweat. I've been manufacturing sweat off my face. What's been going on with me? Like I said last week, you know, after coming back from London, I'm chilling like a villain. I am literally chilling. I am not chasing clients. I'm not chasing money. I'm not chasing business. I am having a good time. Yesterday, I went to the park and laid in the grass. I literally went to the park, lay down in the grass for like 45 minutes, meditated, read a book, came back home, sorted myself out, had a couple of clients, and my last client was at 6:30. Started to organize my apartment, like, you know, putting my clothes together, getting rid of the things that I don't want, like, you know, just really organizing and paring my place down. Don't know for what, but it's time to do that. I'm always doing that anyway. And so, yeah, I'm just really stepping into this whole conversation of, I'm not here to hustle. I'm here to do what I love to do, create my business, take care of myself, like earn some money to take care of my bills and stuff like that and my responsibilities, and enjoy my life. That's really what I'm here to do. And I feel so much better for it, you know? And I'm nothing against people who want to mash it up and get grind and be thirsty and all that kind of stuff. That's great for them. But what I've discovered is that, like, I am taking it easy and I've been attracting and generating much more clients and, like, touching bases with old clients. Because I love my clients. And they, you know, when I think about them, they're thinking about me. And it's like, you have a call. And there you go. You get some more business. It's great. I love it. So anyway, less of me and more of It's Tuesday. And of course, as you all know, I love my Tuesday. And Tuesday for me is the time to play with you. And I get to be curious and meet new people and introduce them to you. And introduce, this is a platform for ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things. People who are living life their way. They know that they have this gift, this talent, and maybe they pass through many iterations of themselves and their careers, but they found that passion, that thing that makes them go, ooh. So those are my clients. So tonight I have Tom
Shukoski.
Yeah, almost, right? So look, let me tell you something. If I don't get your name wrong, then we're not having a good show. If I get your name wrong, it's a good show.
Trust me, no one gets my name right.
Okay.
So you are, you're right in with all the rest.
So you say that, like, Tom just said to me, his name goes perfectly with the Mickey Mouse theme. You want to grace us with that?
Shukaskie. Shukaski.
Shukaski. So he's on my show tonight. So Tom is a martial, no, self-defense, a fighter.
Well,
Go ahead. You're all of it.
I teach self-defense.
Uh-huh.
And I run a primitive awareness wilderness school.
Mm-hmm.
So the two go hand in hand with the awareness training from, you know, spending time in the wilderness,
uh-huh,
and the wilderness of, you know, the concrete jungle, you can say.
Okay.
And, yeah, martial arts for 25 years.
You're in really good shape.
Why, thank you. My job kind of keeps me that way.
Right.
You know, it requires it for
and
the most part.
When you say the wilderness, what do you mean? I know you're talking about New York City, but, like, do you actually go, what is the wilderness? Where is it
in
this vicinity?
I've been all over. I've spent, like, a week living off from nothing up in British Columbia, up in the Yukon. Foraging, you know, having grizzly bears pooping outside my tent for a week,
uh-huh,
you know, coming face to face with wolves in the, uh-huh, backcountry, and you know, that sort of wilderness. But the concrete jungle, it's all the same thing.
Right. What when you were out in the wilderness, what did you eat?
Berries. Well, I mean, and a lot of beef jerky that I took stuff with me, but catching fish, lots of plants. Uh-huh. There's a lot of plants that you can eat.
So yeah, so you must know the kinds of plants that you
can
eat.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I studied at the Tracker School with, you know, Tom Brown Jr.
Right.
for almost a decade, and everyone that would teach me anything that they could to learn about the wilderness.
Right.
Growing up in Michigan, we hunted, fished, trapped, did everything that we could to put food on the table. So, I mean, I didn't even really realize there were restaurants until I was, you know, like in middle school or something.
As close as I've gotten to foraging was going to London and having a tasting menu of foraged foods, like, you know, some kind of acorn with some shit on it, or some kind of wild garlic.
You gotta wash the shit off first. That's step number one.
Some kind of wild garlic or this some green shit with some shit on it. And,
oh, man.
But, like, it was good, though.
You gotta come into Central shirt. Park.
I
probably collected over 100 pounds of mushrooms in Central Park last year.
Oh my God, when you do one of those, please, can you tell me? I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I went to one of those foraging type events in Van Cortlandt Park with this guy who was a Rastafarian.
Oh yeah.
And he pulled up wild garlic, chicory, yams, all kinds of stuff.
There's so much stuff that you wouldn't even know. And a lot of it people think are just weeds,
right.
quote unquote weeds. And that is, there's so many that are edible.
Oh,
and
please.
I was just telling the story the other day. I was in Michigan and, you know, visiting a job site with my brother, and he went in to, you know, look, and I looked out in the field and there was like Queen Anne's lace all over.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make myself a cordial for this week. And so I went and collected a bunch of Queen Anne's lace, you know, then bought a couple of ingredients and made my own alcohol, like after dinner drink.
So the Queen Anne's lace is that thing that grows kind of flat.
It's a big white flower, yeah, with
and
a little dot.
It grows everywhere.
Yeah, it's a wild carrot.
Yeah.
So it has a deadly, you know, like look-alike. So you want to make sure you have the right one.
Well,
so,
I'll probably choose the deadly one.
Yeah.
Be like stomach hurting. Yeah, that stuff is wild. It came over with the boats and stuff. Came over.
A lot of it did.
There's a lot of stuff in Williamsburg. Right, that grows wild because that's where the ports were.
It's all over the U.S. now that Central Park alone used to be represented by trees alone by 125 different countries,
mm-hmm.
I like to think. I believe there was a book back in the day.
And Central Park used to be like farmland, didn't it?
It was more barren. It was rock. It wasn't as much. It was before it was farmland. It was, you know, more barren than, you know, it wasn't like a forest.
So. Right. So most of those vegetables, that their roots and stuff, they just probably just keep growing and growing and growing. And, you know, like us, we don't really know.
Yeah. So once again, that's the awareness component. Like walking through the woods or walking through a park, having that level of awareness,
mm-hmm.
whether it's looking for plants or being aware of the presence of someone with negative energy.
Right.
You know, venture into the self-defense
Absolutely.
Aspect of it, you need to have like what we call wide-angle vision,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the time. So when you're walking through the park or through the woods or through the city, you'll notice all these things if you are aware.
Mm-hmm. Only thing I notice is blackberries.
And right now is the time to find blackberries.
Oh, I picked 5 pounds of them when I was in London.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because they're everywhere.
Well, you go upstate right now, you'll pick another 5 pounds easily.
So good. So tell me about this wide... Okay, first of all, who are you? Because we just jumped in, right? Like, so who are you? How did you get to this point? What were you doing before you found the thing that you love doing?
All right, so my name is Tom Shikaski. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Michigan originally. And I have been...
What brought you to New York?
That was a different world. Fashion business.
Oh.
I was the male model for about 10 years
mm-hmm.
when that brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
who
I've
for?
Stayed. What's that?
Who are you modeling for?
All kinds of things. But, I worked a lot for Armani and as like a fit model for them, which
mm-hmm.
was great because
mm-hmm.
I got to, you know, get a lot of suits
mm-hmm.
for like nothing from them. So that was always good.
Mm-hmm.
And then just magazines, all kinds of crazy weird
and what,
things.
What era was this?
I came here in 94 till about 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then I kind of had to get out of that, and I got into as a wilderness instructor for New York City Outward Bound Center,
mm-hmm.
which kind of the weaving way that got me there was I was studying Aikido at the time, the Japanese art of self-defense and weapons, which I love weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But in order, I couldn't afford to take the higher level classes.
Right.
So that my sensei was like, well, if you help me with the after school program, which was teaching kids at risk with the NYPD, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I don't want to work with kids, like, you know, and that's all I do now. But that's what got me starting to work with kids for the free extra training, mm-hmm. which then went into my first self-defense program to get more free training. He said, mm-hmm. you know, be my uke, you know, like basically means get your ass kicked by
be
the...
Be my uke.
Uke, U-K-E.
Okay.
And that's literally meaning he does all the stuff to you for the other people to watch
oh.
and learn. So getting thrown to the ground, horseplay. I would come home
you
bruised.
You were like the crush dummy.
Yeah, basically. You know, what we do for, you know, free lessons. But I learned a lot.
Right.
You know, having that done to you, you learn a lot. You know, it was family self-defense and all that, which then, you know, I continued doing that and then had a kid.
Right.
Hit the brakes, you know, with everything. I quit my job, stay-at-home dad, and then, you know, it allowed me to study again.
Right.
And then I got into the nature more again by taking my daughter out into nature.
Right.
And but just to backtrack a little before that, before having the kid, my wife and I decided to go to Africa.
Stop. Pause. We'll be right
okay.
back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Great. And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Tom Shukaski.
Yeah, there
Shukaski,
you go.
I got it. Yay! I get so excited. So you, we're talking about self-defense, but we're also getting a warm up about who is this man? What is he about? He used to be a model. So that's pretty awesome.
Model turned urban caveman.
Urban caveman. Yeah. Okay, so you went to Africa.
So I went to Africa.
Africa. Which country?
Kenya.
Nice.
And, you know, just being out and, you know, like learning. I was
so you were the urban bushman.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to learn everything. So right. One of a Samburu warrior taught me the hand drill.
Uh-huh.
So making fire, like, you know, rubbing with a stick into a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long while, and about 8 blisters to get there. But I made a fire, like rubbing that stick. And from that, it lit a fire inside me that kept going. And then it was just a different level of awareness there. Mm-hmm. Like just how they could walk through the bush with lions and jaguar, you know,
lions and tigers and elephants and bears.
Yeah, no tigers, fortunately, but there are a lot of other things
right.
around there. Plenty, like even, you know,
insects.
Elephants and the water buffalo, insects, everything. It's just crazy level of awareness you need to maintain in the bush in Africa. So, I mean, that was like the basis of when I came back. I just didn't want that to end, and I started studying at the Tracker School. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to continue that. And with Tom Brown Jr. at the Tracker School, it's not just those skills. It was it's based on the Apache Scouts.
Okay.
And the Apache Scouts were the shaman and the first line of defense for the Apache Nation.
Okay.
So fighting was a big thing. And the awareness of the Apache fighting, so you're talking traps, you know, everything, you know, that to keep people from messing with them.
Right.
They were the art
of...
To
be alive.
So, you know, that became part of our training, and it was like the, you know, what they call Wolverine fighting and the wilderness fighting system mm-hmm. that I transferred it to, and then now it's become the Intuit program, which is all about still incorporating that level of awareness and avoiding the danger. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's the best way to stay safe, right, is to not be involved with the danger, in the dangerous situation.
Okay.
So that's where it started. Africa model to Africa, then, you know,
back to the west. So I met Tom at a Yelp event, and I asked him, what do you do? And he was like, I do self-defense. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean?
Right? Like, oh, yeah, just punch him in the face,
right? Yeah, like, and so, you know, you talked about women and fighting, and I said I can fight. And one of the things that you asked me is like, yeah, you can fight. And I told him that I have four brothers, right, that, you know, I had to learn to fight with them. But the truth of the matter is, like, I can fight, but like, one of the things that you mentioned is like, can I fight so I can get away?
Yeah.
Right, I'm not thinking, like, I'm just thinking, I'm going to kick your ass, and I'm going to kick it down to the ground, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to stand over you and pee on you. No, I'm kidding. But then I'm going to, you know, I'm good because you're wounded, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's like literally fighting to get away.
You need to, because a lot of times what I try and tell people is, you know, a lot of people, when they get in a fight, they're really, it's about control in the beginning, but then if, let's say, you punch me in the face, you're just going to make me mad.
Right.
I mean, I've been hit, like, with bats and all kinds of stuff.
You haven't
and it's
got
just
a broken
like,
nose, though.
I've broken my nose twice, and I've broken my cheekbone, both my thumbs. I've had lots of injuries. I also played football in college, so it's like I'm used to that level of physical stuff. But a lot of times you don't realize you're in it until you get hit.
Right.
And that's going to flip a switch in a lot of people. And you don't want to flip into a violent, you know, lot of times with the rape and all, it's about control and power.
Right.
But if you flip it into a more violent state where it's going to be something else by just hitting them, you know, that's what I teach. When we get into that physical part of what we teach trauma. I'm in the business of trauma.
Okay.
I don't want to teach people to fight. I want to teach them to end fights real fast.
Rah!
It's create trauma, enough trauma that gives you time to escape or get out of there if you can.
Right.
And if there's not time, that trauma allows you to create more trauma in another area. And then hopefully, you know, and you keep doing it until you can get out of there. The bottom line is getting away to be safe.
See, I wouldn't have known that. I mean, like, maybe intuitively, but I wouldn't have known that my job is to create trauma and more trauma so I can get the hell out of there. Right. So what your, you know, reason why I brought you onto this show, because I can, but I really wanted you to really share with us what can women, like, and it's not just women, like, today there are more women going into business. There are more women meeting strangers in business. There are more women going to conferences and big meetings and meeting people at their offices or meeting people that they don't know, or maybe it's a referral. Or what you said to me was meeting somebody who's manipulative. Can I hold your coat? And can I do this? And can I do that? And then when they ask you for something and you say no, that's when the dog mean person comes out.
Yeah. So this, you know, this all started back with me, first of all, having a daughter.
Right.
You know, and then I was like, it totally changed my thought process and how am I going to teach her to protect herself? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just things kept happening and, you know, and studying more. And then I got a hold, someone told me I had to read this book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker.
Okay.
And he specializes now in, he runs a business called with protectors.
Right.
They protect, you know, politicians and celebrities mm-hmm. or people that are being stalked and whatnot. But anyhow, I spoke to some people there, and it was really interesting because the training that I had with the tracker school and that awareness was kind of beyond what they said that they actually even do.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me realize that I'm on the right, you know, track here. Like teaching people with what he presents in this book, The Gift mm-hmm. of Fear, that level of awareness and how you can take what people are saying to you or how they're acting to give you clues that they are trying to, that they want something from you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what they want isn't something that you want to give.
Mm-hmm.
And having that level of awareness right from the beginning allows you now to start making decisions
right.
and allows you to change your state. And when I say that, it's like Tony Robbins always talking about change your state. And you can change your state from being a victim to now being the one that is going to take charge of what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's happening, or you have an idea of what's happening.
Right.
And now you can already start taking steps to your safety.
Yeah. I always think of it like, this thing, you know, like you sort of think that there's a little desert animal. It's like a lizard thing. And he's got these things on the side of it. Like, it's like almost like a crown. And when he's triggered, that whole thing goes up like that. And it looks like a bunch of pleats. I don't know what it is. It a gecko? I don't know what it is. But it's like your thing goes up like, I'll fuck you up like that.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the animal world for a second. How many fights in the animal world end in death? A lot of it is posturing.
Right.
And it's like, who, you know, can present like to be the bigger one? Like, what do they say with bear, like in the wilderness? Make yourself big.
Right.
So a lot of times it's like we are told to do this. But women are not.
Right.
So let's go back to like, it's how women have been raised
right.
for a long time to not be the aggressor, to not, you know, oh, hey, he's just wants a little attention from you. But that's what I'm really trying to change now. Like, I want women to be like, you need to be like the animal world.
Right.
You need to, you know, like show that you don't have that fear, show that you are going to fight back. And that is going to also help protect you because these men want easy targets.
Right.
So I'm not saying that's going to stop them and all of them, but like you're saying, like you have that level of confidence and someone, you know, gets all up in your grill. You get right back
right.
in their face. You're like, I am not like the target.
But I'm not the one.
That's difficult for a lot of people.
Right.
So, I mean, that's where it starts with children. And
right.
my kids' programs is teaching the confidence, giving skills right,
right
away, like the personal skills to be able to do that and letting them know it's how to say no, and
mm-hmm.
that everyone needs to listen to no, and
right.
you know those awareness things that we were talking about before, through the Gavin DeBecker book that lists the you know his pins he calls them these survival signals.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start training our children, our daughters, and our boys like when no means no.
Right.
Like just let's use that for an example. That if we just all took no for what it really is.
Right.
You know, it's the shortest, easiest sentence to remember.
Right.
Two letters. No.
No.
It's a sentence in and of itself.
Well, you listen to little kids, like little kids, that's one of the words that they learn is no. Right?
Yeah.
And then mommy says, stop being no, stop it. You know? And the kid is like, they're really like, no. And then after a while, it's like they get domesticated and they have to be nice.
Well, typically, isn't that what we tell? Like, oh, you need to be nice.
Right.
Like, the man is, like, being aggressive. Well, you need to be nice. He just, whatever it is, he's giving you attention. You need to be nice.
Right.
And that's what, you know, also needs to change. You know, what if you don't like them being nice? We never told our daughter, like, even with family, like, that you have to kiss someone. Like, oh, give someone a kiss. No. You know, if they don't want to, if they're not comfortable with that, learning your boundaries.
Right.
And learning in the primitive world what we call our critical edge, our personal space,
right.
is very important to know when and, you know, when you want someone to come into that space
right.
or not. If you're not comfortable, and kids are really good at
intuitive,
their intuition is spot on.
Because that's all they have.
Well, we all have intuition. We imagine it's a dial tone. We've turned it way down, like
mm-hmm.
the volume of our intuition, and we don't even listen to it because it's this low, like, hum now.
Right.
We need to crank that back up, and when those messengers of intuition shoot off a signal to us to listen to them and at least check out what's going on.
Right.
But like teaching kids from the beginning this stuff is super important. And just going back to the word no, you know, if a kid asks for candy, you know, or I just want to watch this show, I want to stay up another hour, and they keep begging, 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 and the parent says no, 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 and then after, you know, five minutes, they say yes. All you've done is taught that child that they keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, they're going to get what they want.
I know. My neighbor's kid used to go, but look at this face. It's so cute.
Charming. They're trying to be charming.
And I'd be like, okay, all right.
So, and one of the things in his book, Gavin Becker says, you know, what is, you have to think of the word charming not as an adjective, but as a verb. What does the word mean to charm?
Mm-hmm.
It's to control by, you know, allure or whatnot. Right. So whenever someone is being charming, they want something from you.
Right.
And even if you just ask yourself, like, why is this person being charming?
What do you want?
Maybe they just want your number. Maybe it's a kid that wants you to get them, you know, an extra piece of candy because their parents won't give it to them now or whatever it is. But it's just, if you think of that word charming as you're being charmed and that someone wants something from you, it's just a change
of... you've been hypnotized to take on what
they want. That's what I always talk to people in my seminars. What is the snake charmer doing to the snake? They're controlling something, you know, something that could, you know, effectively be dangerous to them, but through the, you know, flute or whatever they.
So when we're going to take a break right now and we're going to come back. And when we come back, I want to talk about how women can protect themselves at these meetings and what do they have to do to be mindful.
Certainly.
Okay, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. We're back. And I'm talking with Tom Shoe.
You got it the last time.
I know. I'm thinking about it too much. Shukaski.
Shukaski.
And we're talking about self-defense, women, business, how to protect yourself in the world, inside of the concrete jungle, right? Like I was just saying to Tom, you know, I go to conferences, meetings, walking around office buildings late at night, meeting strange people that I don't, and I never think of, I'm thinking, oh, we're doing business together, we're camaraderie, we're networking. I'm never thinking that somebody might be plotting and scheming to do me harm because this is just the nature of who they are.
Yeah. And I mean, even if they're not necessarily trying to do harm, it's just like crossing those boundaries of what is comfortable in these places, you know.
Right.
I recently had a conversation with a woman and she's like, you know, oh, you know, like when a guy pats your ass, it's like that makes you feel good. And I'm like, well, what if it was your daughter? And that, like, she did like a 180, like, oh yeah, that wouldn't be good. But you know, once again, this is, you know, these generational divides. Like right. back then, that was like, oh, he's just giving you attention. Or the guy coming up, you know, like rubbing your shoulders that you don't want touching you right. at work. Or here's a quick story. One of my students called me up and said, oh, my God, Tom, like, this just happened to me, you know. And,
what
you
was
know,
it that happened?
So she was at a conference, and it's in the South, and it was cold mm-hmm. in the room, but, you know, she's from there, so it wasn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And this man that she didn't know mm-hmm. said, oh, you know, I see you're cold. And she's like, I'm not. He's like, well, you look cold, so here, let me put my jacket on your shoulders. And she said, no. And then he asked again, like, a minute later. She said, no. And then he didn't even ask the third time. He just took his jacket and put it on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She's like, I didn't know what, you know, like, what to do. So I just left it there for a second. We're just having this conversation about, like, you know, like, so some people you just let it happen.
Right. I'm thinking, ew, I don't want your stinky yeah. jacket on my shoulders.
But so here's what happened. So she's like, I left it there for a few seconds, and then I took it off and said, oh, thank you. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, no, don't thank this man for doing something you didn't want him to do.
Right.
Because basically what happened after the
interplay with the jacket.
After the interplay with the jacket, and then when the person that was talking was done, and everyone broke everything up, and they were walking around, this man, like that little interaction, uh-huh. basically him loaning us, this is what we call, you know, the loan sharking part. Uh-huh. He gave her the jacket and then felt that it was his right to, that he could go up and now just have a conversation because they were, it's also
involved.
This thing, this forced teaming concept
right.
that we haven't spoken about, but it's in the book.
Right.
And it created this like couple that didn't exist.
Right.
And he loaned her the jacket. So he felt that he could just speak to her.
Mm-hmm. Any
and
kind then, of way.
Yeah, in any kind of way. And he walked right up, interrupted these other people that were talking to her. And he said, oh, you know, he was like, oh, you know, well, I loaned you my jacket. And she's like, oh, right away. She knew at this point, like the training that we had done together. She's like, I didn't want your jacket to begin with. So, and I don't want to talk to you now. And I was like, all right, that's a step in the right direction. Like speaking your mind and letting them know, boom, like,
right.
no,
cutting it
you
dead.
Can't just come and talk to me just because you put your jacket on my shoulders.
Right.
And that's part of, you know, what you're talking about, what needs to happen, what women need to do, what people need to do when they feel uncomfortable is tell them.
Right.
They got to stop worrying about that other person's feelings. She didn't say anything. She said while someone with the presentation was happening, because she didn't want to embarrass him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I understand, but it just makes me mad. She said no twice.
Right.
He puts her jacket. I said, you know, and you don't want to, it's also like careful because you don't want to like trigger something in the person and anger them by. Mm-hmm. By embarrassing them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways to do it. Like I said, no, like she could have turned around, ham jacket. I said no, no means no,
right.
you know, and moved.
Right.
I said, you always like don't stay in a spot that you don't feel comfortable in. She's like, I didn't even think of that. You know, like, she could have just moved somewhere else and then it would have not made a scene.
Right. So now, so we got that as an example. How are women, like, what do we have to be mindful of when we're at a conference and it's like maybe a boss or maybe it's a coworker that's higher than you? How can we manage that? Or maybe it's a client. Because, like, I read an article today. It says 1 in 5 women will be raped in a lifetime. Inside of the tech world, there's bro-grammers, which are the bro groups that come together. And what they might be a little bit handsy, not a little bit, they're handsy with the girls. You know, the girls are not dressed any particular way. And even if they were, even if they had loops on their titties, right? It's their titties and it shouldn't be touched, right? So they're in the elevator and somebody's touching them or, you know, how do you help women to manage those kinds of things?
Well, I think it starts out right from the beginning when they're young, teaching them that they have this space that's their space mm-hmm. and that these people don't have a right to just touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, to speak up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also equipping them with these other things that they can do to defend themselves. You know, other places in other countries start teaching people self-defense, you know, at a younger
right.
age, you know, through martial arts and these different systems.
I did judo. I hated it.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to throw your brothers around.
That's true. Well, they got to
but
throw me
around. Like, even if it's just some, like, basic training and the understanding on both sides of the equation when someone, you know, not to enter into someone else's space. And in a company, I think companies are a little more aware of this nowadays.
But it's still going on a lot.
But you can, you should be able to go right to your HR department, or you know, to the boss. And if it is the boss, you know, to somewhere else. Or I mean, you know, you shouldn't have to do this, but I mean, look at what are the possibilities that you can do. I mean, are there helplines to call? Are there, you know, can you go to the police with it?
Right.
Can you go to, is there a higher up in the organization?
Right.
You know, there's always someone that you can, you know, speak to.
Right. So let me just give an example. So a couple of weeks ago, I was somewhere and I was talking and this guy was moving by, oh no, it's coming up the stairs actually in the subway. And this guy, his hand brushed against my titties, right? And I knew he didn't do it deliberately, because he was so embarrassed, he didn't know what to do with himself. And he was kind of like stumbling up the stairs, and he looked at me, and I said to him, you accidentally brushed my breast. It's okay. You're not going to die, and I'm not going to have you arrested. Because think about it, we have all this Me Too business going on now, mm-hmm. right? How, you know, women don't want to be the victimized. They don't want to be like, they don't want to cause attention to themselves. So how would you manage a situation like that? How do you want women to manage situations like that? Because sometimes that happens.
Well, when it's an accident, then it's an accident.
Right.
You know, and by not like, if it's an accident and you know it's an accident, you'll know.
Right.
By paying attention. First
right.
of all, once again, it's awareness. And, you know, trying
so
not to.
I was pretty
to,
aware.
Yeah. Right, and you did, and you said something
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, because he
so
was
good.
Like, he was so discombobulated when he did it. I mean, like, I saw him kind of go into one of those trying to get up the stairs, and I said, you yeah. accidentally brushed against my breast. It's okay. I'm not going to have you yeah. arrested.
But it's paying attention when you are in places, and what is what we call baseline. If there's a bunch of people moving up and down, the chances of brushing into one another is greater. Mm-hmm. But to look for things like when there aren't a lot of people and then someone brushes up against you, is that an accident? There's
right.
plenty of space. You
right.
don't need to be next to me.
Right.
You know, if you're in a half-empty subway car and someone comes up and stands right next to you, behind you, and they're, even if it's like the back of their hand or whatever, they try and, you know, like, touch you for
right.
some way.
That happens
then
to me
it's,
when I first
that's
came
off
here.
Baseline. Yeah, that happens all the time.
That happened to me when I first came here. I was like, what's going on? Because I had no clue.
That, right. I mean, that stuff has happened to me. You know, and then trust me, this stuff happens in the male world too, especially as a male model.
Mm-hmm.
I had women telling me, oh, you'll get this job if, you know, you sleep with me, like straight
right.
up. And I'm like, you were pretty hot. I'd have slept with you if you just had asked me for dinner, you know, like,
right.
you didn't need to offer me a job for it. But then I ended up like walking out and having everyone mad at me, my bookers and stuff. But I wasn't going to play that game.
So what I'm hearing from you is that women have to step into their power.
Yes, yes.
Right? No matter how and small, no matter how, because I'm a pretty big girl, right? So like,
yeah.
and yeah, go ahead.
Well, hey, yeah, we're, oh my, so my co-instructor that mm-hmm. works with me, her name's Joy. Joy, if you're listening, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
She's 5 foot nothing in heels maybe,
mm-hmm.
but she is like the Tasmanian devil. And that's a good thing
mm-hmm.
because she has this small physique,
stature.
But her presence like just says, you look at her and like, you know, like, I'm not going to fuck with her. She's
right.
going to, you know, kill me.
Right.
You know, so it's like having that sort of, but she's trained. She's like also the first black belt in our system, female,
mm-hmm.
which is saying even in that world, it's
rare.
You're making moves
right.
and it's good. And women need to do things, you know, physically as well to have that physical confidence,
uh-huh.
whether it's just, you know, sports or whatever it is, and that mental confidence to speaking up for themselves.
Right.
You know, creating this space and understanding this space belongs to you.
Right.
And no one can come in there without, you know, your authorization.
No violation. So tell me about these women in Israel, because you said that Israel has the lowest incidence.
Well, I wouldn't quote that. I've just know a bunch, because they all,
right.
no matter what, in Israel you have to
go
train
to the army. Right.
in the army. And I've spoken to a few, and they just talk about, you know, fighting.
Right.
And when you're used to fighting in a way that's in the army, the Krav Maga is very similar to the open hand that we teach and that I study in the Kunta Kali Crusada family. It's trauma. Like, right. It's based on combat.
Right.
So knowing that someone knows this, you are less
likely
apt
to
just go and mess with them unless you're looking for something. Right. Like, and that's a different story.
So share with us as a woman, like, what's, you know, I'm in a place and the guy comes up and he's trying to, like, what's one? So you said in the eyeballs, right? Get him in the eyes.
So the first thing that we teach is when you
kill spots.
It's so let's go back to first thing is awareness.
Right.
Like, you need to be aware that someone is approaching you. Awareness of your surroundings and what's, like, not the norm. That's right. Like what we call off baseline. And being able to, the first thing we do is, like, the arms out in, like, the stop sign. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, hey, you know,
that's
stop.
A natural kind of stance, though, right?
And it's not here, though. It's your arms are extended because, right. Once again, that's your
perimeter.
Space, your
mm-hmm.
your personal space, your aura, whatever you want to call it. That's what you have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And being aware. So mm-hmm. not being in your phone, not reading a book, walking down the street, not, you know, like, with
guilty.
Headphones
guilty.
In.
No,
but
no headphones.
Everything takes away that. Even if it's a little bit of that awareness.
Right.
You know, because there's so many levels of self-defense, like defending against yourself. But that person went, like, to answer your question, if we can try and squeeze it in before this 2 minute thing. If your arms are out and extended, and then that person enters in after you've told them not to, your arms are already reached right there. And we tell them to have that one hand right already pointed at the eyes. They enter into you there. You've already told them no. It's not even a strike. You're just reaching, extending your
right.
hand stacked right into the eye socket.
What if you're like my friend who, like, you know, who's tiny and has tiny hands and iPhone is, like, really big for her hands? You know, what?
Well, depend on the size and the person. That's why, you know, like, if you train,
like,
where's your target? If you're really short and the dude's big,
right
groin.
In the willy.
Yeah.
Right in the willy.
Hey, we call that monkey grabs the peach. He doesn't leave the peach on the tree, does he? Monkey takes peach from the tree.
So grab, snatch, and twist.
Yeah, and pull.
And pull, okay.
Yeah,
grab,
twist,
snatch,
pull,
pull.
Detach, and get out.
All right, we're
going
to take
thought.
A break, and we'll be right back. Oh, God.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
We're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. I got kind of excited with the grab, snatch, pull, pull and tug. Rip it off! Yeah. Rip it off! Kill!
Trauma.
Create trauma.
Enough to get out of there.
Enough to get out of there. Like, and this is not a time to be, like, feeling bad. This is a time to save your life.
And that's the thing, is that by practicing and being in these scenarios and understanding that you need to do that.
It's, right.
At that point, you can't think about that other person. Like, I try and teach all of my, even the the most hardcore fighting stuff, it comes from a place of love.
Right.
And you have to think of, even this person has a mom, mm-hmm. brother, sister, whatever it is, but if you've given them every chance, you know, you've tried to move around them, they don't let you go left, right, withdraw, and they've put you in the situation, it comes down to the love of yourself or whoever right. it is you might be protecting,
right.
that you need to, that's the higher power.
Right.
And when you can make that switch in your mind, like to do that, and that you know you have to do, because everyone's like, oh, that's so gross, I don't want to poke his eye out. But it's like, that's the easiest target.
And his.
Yeah.
His or hers. Yeah, because that's another thing. Hers, right? We're always thinking of, as women, you're thinking of it's a man, but it could also be a woman.
It could be, but statistically speaking, it's almost always men. When women, there are women that do it, and then once again, still like our groin strikes and eyes, the same targets are at hand.
Right.
And they're going to create, you know, the same response.
Right. There was something that popped into my mind about fighting, that, but now it's gone. Trauma. Create trauma so that they can escape, so that you can escape. Go ahead.
It'll come back.
Yeah, it'll
that's
come
why
back.
I said the less you think of things, sometimes
I know. But this is back. Like this is like a sweet one, because it's like I'm really committed that, like, women, how do we, you know, so creating awareness. Tell me, I know what awareness for me is, being able to hear what's around me. It's also being able to feel who's kind of behind me, because a lot of people have no concept of the person behind them.
Yeah. So awareness, like, is a very multidimensional, like, concept, because mm-hmm. it goes beyond just, you know, like, it could be like your situation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like the presence of other people, mm-hmm. like awareness of, you know, body language,
mm-hmm.
awareness of, you know, like if someone is in this heat that we're having, what would you think if you saw someone walking down the street in like a big long coat? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's odd.
That's
right.
Weird. Yes.
So, you know, like just being aware.
My thing would today would be like, get out of the vicinity.
Yeah. So it's
shotgun.
So awareness, and, you know, like when you think of also self-defense, like, okay, so let's say there's a cop car in the street and there's 10 cops out with their guns out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk up and, you know, oh, I want to go and see this?
No.
Well, how about going the other way and hearing about it on the news that night?
Mm-hmm.
Aware of situations, aware of, like, the presence, like I said, in the subway. What is the baseline of the area? Does someone need to be right next to me? And if that's the case, move. And then let's say if they move again, now you're aware.
Right.
But by not diverting your attention into electronics or books or things like that, like when you're on the subway, I know it's hard, but, you know, like, people get bored, but you need to, we need to
visually
get away from that. And I mean, especially like the, what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
So we need everyone to be paying attention.
Right.
You know, my daughter was on the subway the other week and a fight broke out right in front of her. And she took my advice. She's like, this is happening. And she's like, I need to get out of here.
Right.
And sure enough, she gets out of there, and one of the women busted out a blade, cut the other woman like four times. And that woman had a friend with her who my daughter, though, she can handle herself. Like, she's been training at the Gracie Academy doing Muay Thai, and she's had me for a dad that I've held nothing back as far as being physical, like in her training, grappling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, all this stuff I've done with her. So she forced her way through that crowd to get away from there before the knife and stuff came out. But being present allowed that to happen.
Right.
If you're not paying attention and someone starts swinging a knife around, like, you might get caught. But what's the best way to not get hurt?
Get out.
To not be there.
Right.
In that, you know, situation. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, just be, if nothing else, be aware.
Right.
Pay attention to what's going on.
I remember being in Fort Greene. This is where I live, in that vicinity. And I was walking up the street one day, and I kind of, like, at the corner of my eye, I saw this guy in the doorway of this store, and he had this hypodermic needle, and he showed it to me, right? Like, I went batshit crazy. I said, motherfucker, I will kill you with my bare fucking teeth. And he was like, he was like, because at that point, I don't know what's in the needle.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it could be a virus. It could be anything. I don't know. But at that point, what do I have to lose? I'm going to bite that motherfucker to death.
But how about just getting out of there?
No, I got out of there. I got out of there.
Stay
but
away
it's just
from
like
the needle.
He showed me.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know if he was going to follow me. Right? But I said it. And then I got out of there.
Yeah.
But I was just like, ooh, don't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to use this in one of my scenarios coming up. Like, just walk out with a big old hypodermic needle. Like, yeah. You go like crazy.
Exactly.
No, it's like, because I try to teach the whoever comes and takes these classes, I want them to see all and hear all these crazy things.
Right.
You know, right here on the street, you want some practice? There's usually, you know where the city bikes are down on like 72nd, 73rd? Mm-hmm. There's been a guy, I swear, like at least 4 out of 5 times I've walked through there, old guy. And crazy hair and whatnot, and he just jumps out at people. And one day I was walking, and he jumped out at me like that, and he caught me off guard. But I did what I teach everyone to do instinctively. I just threw my arms out, and it was almost like energy, and he almost flipped backwards.
Right,
like because I almost one hit him right in the face with my hands.
Right,
and two, he like stopped so quickly he almost fell backwards. He didn't get a chance to do his, you know, like, but. He's there all the time. I should take all people through there to train that guy. I'll give him a donut or something, you know. But.
So there was something that popped into my head again as you were speaking, and it's gone. So anyway, so you be aware of your surroundings. Get them in the eyes. Get them in the groin. Get them at the level that you can actually manage. Okay? And with a manipulator, you know is no.
Yeah.
No
so,
is no.
No has to mean no. Always is just we have to start living with that. No has to mean no.
Right.
And that means when you say it, you have to mean it.
Right.
You know, don't be like no. You know, so
it's like no.
No means no, and stop means stop.
And the eyes open up.
Because like you're talking about this, so 1 in 5 women will be raped in their life. In college, they'll say it's even more. It's 1 in 4
right.
that actually get reported. And they call it forced sex in college. So the numbers are crazy.
Right.
It needs to end. And I think, you know, it's these people that we know. It's someone that you know, and you have to be willing. They have to know. The boyfriend, husband, relative.
Neighbor.
You know, it's
guy
like,
that you meet in the coffee shop.
Guy that you meet, and then the next 40% are people that you know that
random.
Kind of know, like they you see them in the coffee shop all the time. So I mean, when you really look at it, it's like less than 10% of the time that it's just the total random person that's going to follow you and try and stuff you into the car. But then if you're paying attention, you can at least be in the fight as opposed to getting hit or
There was one thing that I had read an article before, like women walking at night late with ponytails, right? Like if you have a ponytail and you're walking late at night and a predator wants to get you, he can grab you by your ponytail.
Yeah, they have to get close enough to do that too. So also,
if you're not aware.
Also you have to just, if you're in a place that your arms are full, you need to be able to ask for help.
Right.
Don't be afraid to ask for help if you like, oh man, I got way too many groceries. My car's out there. Can someone walk me out to the car? I think there's also this level of we don't want to ask help. Yeah,
no,
I can do it myself. Yeah.
Coming up the street, going up the stairs in the subway with a pram, a push chair with a baby. I can do it myself. Like, really?
So asking for help is not a bad thing either.
Asking for help is great.
But
carry my suitcase.
You know, take a class. I don't care if it's with me or with someone, anyone. Take a class. Learn about all these things. So part of that awareness is just knowing that all this is out there and there are things that you can do to be safe.
Right. Well, I would like to at some point invite you, want to pull a lot of women together and invite you to have this conversation because I think it's really important. I was sharing today what I was doing on the show tonight with a group of ladies in the coffee shop, my coffee shop. And I said 1 in 5 women will be raped. And one girl went, I was a victim.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. She goes, it was my boyfriend, right? And she didn't report it,
mm-hmm.
right? So a lot of women don't report these things that happen to them. So what would you say? I mean, yes, they don't report it because also there's a violation. They're going to be violated again, right? Yeah. Like they're going to have a speculum go inside the vagina to be swabbed and all these kind of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that, are you sure? What were you wearing? It's always, what were you wearing? You know, yeah. I was wearing a freaking army uniform.
Yeah. They need to learn to just stand up and take charge of themselves.
Right.
And that it's okay.
I see you holding
that. It's okay to be the bitch.
Right.
You know, that's my catchphrase. Be the bitch.
Right.
You know what? You have to. You know, be the bitch. You know, if that's what people are going to say.
Be the bitch and get them in the eyes.
You know, be the bitch in the beginning. And if they force that, then get them in the eyes.
And that's right.
Give them the opportunity to stop. But then if they don't, well.
So we're going
to
take a break and we'll be right back. Are we over? Oh my God. And I was really getting, last week I was like, are we over? And we had one more segment. This week I'm like, you know, we're over. So give them your website, please.
Well, it's Intuit Self-Defense. My website is www.urbankidadventurers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Intuit, I-N, the number 2, I-T, is the self-defense program
mm-hmm.
that's within it. And the email is intuit.selfdefense@gmail.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. You know, it's about fighting, get them in the eyes, dig them in the throat, you know, get them in the groin. And we at the end of the show, which I'm very disappointed because I could go on forever. But thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank you for just like saying yes. Yeah. Rather than no. I'll see you guys next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.